This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, BFM 89.9. In about 30 minutes, we'll talk to Dr. Oi Sun, the senior fellow at the Singapore Institute of International Affairs, on Gabungan Rakyat Sabah's pick for the Sabah Chief Minister. But in the meantime, let's talk about COVID-19, which is the actual fodder for the Twitter poll this morning, asking listeners, with the recent rise of COVID-19 cases, have you changed your social habits again? Tell us why or why not. And there's only three choices: yes, significantly; yes, somewhat; or no change. Okay, now recently we've seen the new spate of COVID cases in Malaysia, and that's returned to three-digit figures, especially we saw yesterday 115 new cases, mainly reported in Sabah.
Yeah, so this has become a cause of concern, especially many Malaysians from all over the country would have travelled to Sabah for the state elections, which happened over the weekend. Politicians who have been campaigning there have also had to be tested, some of which have been found positive. So in the meantime, the Ministry of Health had also reported that a targeted enhanced movement control order will be enforced in Lahad Datu, Tawau, Kuna and Semperna, and we can see from the headlines today on the New Straits Times, 1 million people are affected by this. And the country has also reported nearly 1,200 cases since September 1st.
So for some insights on this, we speak to Dr. Koh Swee King, a public health policy specialist. Dr. Koh, thank you for talking to us. I'm sure you've seen the news flow in recent days. Are you concerned about the recent rise in new cases?
Yes, I am concerned about the recent rise in new cases. Malaysia's recorded a lot more cases in the past several weeks than we have in the past several months. And a lot of these cases are concentrated in one state, in Sabah, which has now become the state with the third largest number of cases after KL and Selangor. And I think the focus on Sabah in recent weeks of the elections obviously leads to the possibility that some of these infections might be transported out to other parts of Malaysia, which necessitates the temco orders on the four areas in Sabah at the moment.
So do you think the government is measures which is making testing mandatory for everyone returning from Sabah and for them to impose their own quarantine at home? Do you think this is sufficient to contain the outbreak?
Probably not. It's good enough as a baseline measure because quarantines and home surveillance orders and testing will be important. But what probably we need to do is a couple more things. Some of them are more systemic and structural, and some of them are a bit more technological driven and a bit more granular. So let's talk about the systemic and very structural things first. In general terms, Malaysia's Ministry of Health really needs to lead in terms of providing science-based leadership that is devoid of politics when making large strategic decisions for the country. And in recent days, we've seen social media being a buzz with, shall we say, double standards and how some of this criteria administered by the health ministry were not extended to political leaders as they come back from Sabah for the election campaign. So I think making health decision-making science-based and devoid of politics will be a very important structural change in how the government deals with it. In more granular terms, better usage or more targeted usage of technology, for example, using the full capabilities of the MySejahtera app, maybe even considering one app for Malaysia, because we are not yet fully on board in MySejahtera. We have the Selangkah app as an alternative. We also have the manual filling in of information in little logbooks and notebooks throughout the shopping centres and retail outlets around Malaysia. And if a country of 32 million Malaysians can't really create one app that, in a sense, will unite our country, then contact tracing will also be a problem.
Now, Doc, we've seen the government make testing mandatory for everyone coming back from Sabah. Is this sufficient to contain the outbreak?
Probably not as well, because we've seen in a lot of lessons from the last 9 months, not only from Malaysia, but also from other countries, that we need a basket of solutions, multiple solutions all at the same time to contain the outbreak. Quarantine is one thing, testing is another. The third thing would be making sure that we do appropriate contact tracing for everybody who comes back from Sabah. These are just three solutions in a basket of solutions, but others would be better use of technology. Number two, the fourth one would be better use of technology. The fifth one would be clearer and more consistent enforcement of the existing SOPs all around Malaysia. And perhaps, Fifi, like I've mentioned earlier, a rational use or rationalizing the use and optimizing the use of technology, for example, the MySejahtera app, as a whole, together with SOPs like physical distancing and face masks, maybe that will be the seventh solution in the basket of solutions. And when we implement the 7, 8, 9 solutions in the whole basket of solutions that we have, then we stand a stronger chance.
And Dr. Kaur, do we know the incidences of or the rate of asymptomatic transmissions in Malaysia? And how much does this actually complicate efforts to contain the virus then?
We don't have clear data on the rates of asymptomatic transmission in Malaysia, perhaps because we, Malaysia, alongside many other countries, we've been too busy fighting the virus to really truly study it from an epidemiological perspective. And this is not a commentary, it's just the real world limitations that every health system will face, and including the researchers inside the health system as well. So there is a bit of an absence of data about asymptomatic transmission, but the best available data that we have internationally shows that up to 60 to 80% of people with COVID might have no symptoms or very mild symptoms that lead them to not even seek healthcare treatment in the first place. And those are pretty high numbers. And extrapolating that to Malaysia would mean that we may have many thousands of people who are asymptomatic and possibly causing spread as well.
Now, Doc, based on what's known, how would you assess the country's efforts to procure a vaccine so far?
We can do better. We can do better in several ways. Well, the good news is that we are already in the COVAX facility, and we are in the midst of making bilateral arrangements with some Chinese vaccine manufacturers. And I think this multiple fail-safe approach has a lot to be commended for. However, what's left for us to do right now is perhaps firstly, come up with the money for us to pay the initial commitment into the COVAX facility, and that amounts to a sizable amount of money, which needs to be taken up probably from the emergency commitments for COVID that we have already provided for ourselves in some of the announcements made by the Prime Minister earlier this year. Secondly, we may need to mobilize some funds from Budget 2021, because the additional funds for COVID, the COVID vaccine, will be necessary, because we're looking at 2 to 3 doses, ultimately for 100% of the population. That should cost us a considerable amount of money as well. That's on the funding side. On the international engagement side, Malaysia probably needs to send more representatives into the decision-making frameworks of not only the COVAX facility, but also organizations like the World Health Organization. Because decisions that are made for Malaysia and Southeast Asia and the emerging world are currently being made by a group of developed countries, and therefore we need representation from the emerging countries as well. That's a funding and the international engagement side. But after we secure access to the vaccine, a mass population vaccination exercise will require lots of planning, especially in 2 areas. Number 1, the logistics, and number 2, the communication. The vaccine will probably need to be transported between 0 to 6 Celsius into remote parts of tropical Malaysia, which means we'll need adequate people in the private sector and the public sector to transport these vaccines in safe ways. And that's just a logistics side to carry the vaccine to 32 million Malaysians. And finally, the communication side. We've already seen a rise of anti-vaxxers around the world. Misinformation and disinformation is rife. And if the COVID vaccine is weaponized and we cannot build vaccine confidence in Malaysia, then our efforts would have come to naught. Therefore, the risk communications and the public communications elements of the vaccine program will be important.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for your thoughts, Dr. Kaur. That was Health Policy Specialist Dr. Kaur speaking. After this, the 7:30 News Bulletin, after that, we'll talk to Fitch Ratings, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.